You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper.
And I'm Carolyn Nelson.
The regularly scheduled program that was to be aired tonight, a rerun of Mystery Babylon number 29, will not be heard tonight, for we are bringing you a special presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, and I suggest you get pen and paper by your side, as usual. Remember, you dare not listen to the Hour of the Time ever without a pad of paper and a pencil or pen. Ladies and gentlemen, I made a prediction last year that 1994 would be the year that they take the guns away from the American people, and it appears that once again, I will be right. On December the 29th, USA Today, a newspaper owned by Gannett Company, Incorporated, published an issue, the first time in my entire life I have ever seen an entire newspaper devoted to one subject: guns in America. Death by guns in America. Children killed by guns in America. The following day, December the 30th, CNN's entire programming for the day was devoted to anti-gun propaganda. Tonight, on CNN, they ran a special report on the highlights of the year 1993. And guess what? Apparently nothing good happened in 1993. Everything was gun-oriented. Wars, murders, violence, nothing, not one single thing good that happened was presented to the public. And every conflict in the world was blamed upon religion. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be a critical year. We must be on our guard. We must succeed in waking the sheeple. And we must weed out the traitors from our institutions, our city governments, our county governments, our police departments, our national government, the military. We must succeed in routing out the secret societies from every one of our communities. We must reduce the Masonic lodges to rubble. We must do this, or we will be slaves in the New World Order. And anyone who is not of what they call the new sixth root race of Germanic and Anglo heritage, you will be exterminated. It made no secret of this, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight in the special presentation on CNN, in their coverage of the Waco massacre, they made the statement that David Koresh declared that he was the Messiah, resulting in the deaths of over 86 men, women, and children, and four government agents in the apocalypse that followed. Stay tuned. We have a very special guest with a very special message. Don't go away. I'll be right back. Linda Thompson, welcome once again to the Hour of the Time.
Thank you for asking me, Bill.
The massacre in Waco, Texas, for those of us who understand its meaning, has cut deep into the quick of the American consciousness, those of us who are still Americans. There is a campaign now to direct attention away from the trial, which begins on January the 10th, of the surviving Branch Davidians who have been charged with conspiracy to murder federal officers by discrediting you and the tremendous work that you've done to try to bring the attention of the sheeple to what's really happening. Fill us in, Linda.
Well, I'm seeing an attack. It's an orchestrated attack from almost invariably has its roots in the same source, Bogreitz and people affiliated with Bogreitz, for no apparently good reason other than to cause confusion and to try to provide the government with an excuse to explain how these children were killed in Waco. One of the things that was very important in my first tape, and I didn't realize how important it was at the time, was the scene that shows the underground bunker smoking. I got more reaction from the government operatives, and now I know who a lot of them are, as do your listeners, but they began immediately to attack me on that point, this underground bunker smoking, and the part where the narrator says that many people lost their lives there. Well, I found out why this particular point was so sensitive with them, because they had put out disinformation claiming that when the inspectors checked in the underground bunker, the air was fresh and clean, and that there were only six bodies in there, and they were all people that had been killed the first day.
Why would anyone believe them when everything they said from day one on February the 28th all the way through the 51 days was a lie?
There's a lot of people that have believed the story from day one, and they still believe the government's version, despite the fact that even in the published accounts, you can see lie after lie after lie. They contradicted themselves day after day after day. But this one particular point turned out to be very important because it happened that many of the children were in the underground bunker. You remember after the fire that the news media kept talking about this. There was one building still standing. It was a concrete building, and they made a big to-do saying, oh, the firemen and the marshals and the ATF and the FBI were afraid to go in there. That was where all the ammunition was, and it might blow up, and that there were, when they did go in, there were hundreds of rounds of ammunition up to their knees and all this kind of malarkey. And they kept calling it a bunker. It was an above-ground concrete structure. They kept saying there's ammunition in the bunker. Well, first of all, that's not a bunker. It used to be, when the Branch Davidians' house was still standing, it was a meat locker. It was a cold storage meat locker, a walk-in cooler, inside what used to be a well house. Second of all, we've got film footage, and you could see some of that in our first tape, Waco, the Big Lie. Immediately after the fire, there's FBI agents walking around in the ruins as they're still smoking at 5 o'clock that evening. They walk right in that concrete structure. There's no fear whatsoever of any exploding anything, no fear of any bullets, nothing. This was not the bunker. They also said they found many children with their mothers in the bunker. And the news media led us to believe they were talking about this above-ground concrete structure. And that was an intentional deception. What they didn't want any of us to find out was when they said, when the coroner said that a lot of the children were found in the bunker, he meant the bunker, the real one, the one underground, the tunnel, the one that's shown in my videotape, smoking early in the morning. Now, we did have the time wrong. I thought it was 6 in the morning, but we finally got footage and documented the precise time was 10 minutes to 9, and the time that the tank hit the front end of the building and collapsed it onto the trap door was right after that, within 2 minutes. So anyone that was in that underground bunker was trapped underground immediately. They were gassed under there. Agents kept getting in and out of their tanks, shooting gas, shooting. They had portable flamethrowers. We found pictures of agents with portable flamethrowing backpacks. And they were in and out of these tanks. You can see the smoke coming out of that underground bunker. And afterwards, as the place is burning down, if you watch the film footage, you can see tanks rolling back and forth across this one particular spot. And what they were doing was collapsing the underground bunker in on top of these people. The coroner from Tarrant County, his name was Crow, Rodney Crow, went on the Maury Povich show, and to his great credit, finally spoke the truth. He blasted the media that said the children, when he had reported that the children died of blunt trauma, the media had said the Branch Davidians beat their children to death. He blasted them and said that was an outright lie, that when he had said they died from blunt force trauma, they died when the concrete crushed in on them and killed them. The tanks rolled over those children, crushed the concrete in, and killed them. And that's what the government didn't want any of us to know. And that was what they were covering up when they buried the whole place.
I remember the coroner making that statement on the Maury Povich show, and he did say exactly what you have just related.
This is why the McNulty tape, the one we talked about earlier tonight, was put out. They put that out before people made the connection. But because of my tape, because of the scene that shows that bunker flaming and smoking underground, they didn't want people to figure out. You'll notice that all during the siege, they never mentioned the underground bunkers. They kept talking about the concrete structure above ground and calling it a bunker. They kept directing everyone's attention away from it. I found out that most people did not know the bunkers were underground out in the yard, that people in there would have been safe.
Most people still don't know unless they've seen your video.
And that's what the government, they freaked out about that. They literally did. They had spasms about that part of my tape, and I didn't know why until I heard that coroner speak out, and what he basically confirmed was that I was right, that all those people had been in the bunker, were killed in the bunker. They were crushed by concrete, mothers holding their babies. And the McNulty tape came out to give the government an alternative excuse. The whole tape is a fabrication to try to claim that the gymnasium collapsed and crushed these children.
And in fact, it did not.
You know, and first of all, the gymnasium didn't collapse. Second of all, well, one part of it did, a roof part did, but it wasn't enough to kill anybody. It fell.
The truth is it just drooped, really.
It drooped.
Yeah.
The whole gymnasium is still standing long into the fire. It's one of the last things to catch on fire. And we have plenty of film footage to prove that. He has these photographs that he calls forward-looking radar pictures. They aren't forward-looking radar at all. They're handheld thermal imaging pictures. And he's put a time on them at 11:59, which would be before the fire, claiming that the gymnasium collapsed before the fire. But if you look at those pictures, there are at least six buildings completely obliterated. They're missing in the picture. They're gone. That picture could only have been taken after the propane tank exploded and blew them up.
Now, McNulty has been lying to the public, in fact. He has claimed that he is a professional investigator. In fact, he's an insurance salesman, isn't he?
That's right. And then this number that he gives out for his organization, it turns out it's like one of those sex phone lines. It's a 900 number that if you call that number, you're going to be paying $4 a minute for it.
And when he made this tape, the tape is a fabrication, ladies and gentlemen. It has been falsified and heavily tampered with and manipulated. And he sent out a press release about this tape, discrediting or attempting to discredit Linda Thompson. And I tell you, the truth always wins out. He will not succeed, for it is he who will be discredited ultimately. You mark my word. And it begins tonight, ladies and gentlemen. His organization, in fact, does not really exist. He misrepresented himself to the press by sending out on a letterhead, a misleading letterhead, making the press believe that he was a representative of the government of California under the title of California Organization for Public Safety. And there's a picture of the Capitol building in his letterhead. He made the tape available only to the media, because the media, of course, will jump at the chance to discredit Linda Thompson, will not analyze the tape. And so far, I have not seen the media, this tape, presented on any television media, but I have heard talk show radio host after talk show radio host parrot this phony professional investigator, who's really an insurance salesman, representing an agency of the state of California, which does not exist, giving out a telephone number, which is a 900 number, which you're charged for if you call, who has totally created a manipulated phony tape to attempt to divert your attention away from the upcoming trial on January the 10th. You see, if they can succeed in discrediting Linda Thompson, they can do whatever they want to the surviving Branch Davidians, just as they could succeed in murdering the entire congregation of that church just by making David Koresh appear to be politically incorrect. Is this right, Linda?
Well, that's absolutely right. And one of the reasons I've been away for a while and not talking out publicly a lot in the last couple of weeks, I've been working on two tapes. One is Waco 2, and we can't get it done before the trial. I mean, the studio time has just absolutely killed us because of the holidays. So we decided to make the music video and get it done because we could get it done quickly, and it will tear your heart out. But it has two crucial pieces of information in it that the government does not want out, did not want to come out before the trial, that has not come out yet. And when everyone's, when people see, I want people to do what they did with the first tape. Get it out everywhere. Get it out quick. Get it out before the trial. Especially if you're in Texas, try to make sure it gets in the hands of every one of your neighbors in case they might be on that jury. But keep in mind, in this case, the judge is going to pick the jury. He's put a gag order on the attorneys. He's decided that the jury is going to be anonymous. They've moved the trial out of Waco to San Antonio, but they kept the same judge, the judge that picked the magistrate that signed the original search warrant, the judge that held secret arraignments of these Branch Davidians, the same judge that kept witnesses in solitary confinement in Waco. This judge has no scruples, no concept of the Constitution, has no intentions of doing anything but whatever the government has told him to do.
Are you talking about Green?
No, Judge Smith.
Judge Smith? Smith.
Green is the magistrate that Walter Smith picked. Green.
Green is the magistrate that signed the warrant.
Right. And Walter Smith, the federal judges get to pick their own magistrates. They're not even appointed or voted or anything. They're hand-picked by the judge, and the judge is hand-picked by the governor. They also are not voted in. They are federally appointed. And, you know, in this case, Ann Richards is the governor of Texas, and she's the one who didn't know enough about the Constitution to know that she could order those federal agents out of Texas anytime she wanted to. In reply to letters to her, she responded that she had no control over it. It was in the hands of the federal government.
Well, she would like everybody to believe that, but I happen to know that Ann Richards is an old-time, very astute politician, and she knows exactly what she can do and what she can't. She uses it as an excuse. Ignorance of the law is no excuse, and she's not ignorant to begin with. I can assure you of that. But the sheeple will believe whatever she says.
Well, I'll tell you, it doesn't seem like you've got sheeple for listeners, Bill, because this evening, the service that was handling our calls for the tape called me to tell me that not one single person wanted to use a credit card. Isn't that marvelous?
Yes, it is.
It is marvelous. I was so thrilled to hear that. It was just marvelous. There were people that even screamed at them about credit cards, and didn't they want to know how bad they were and why you shouldn't use them. And it was wonderful. It was truly wonderful. Not a single call wanted to use a credit card.
Yeah. Whenever anybody uses credit or takes out a loan on anything, they are contributing to the destruction of the United States of America.
Well, that I thought that was a very, very telling point about how successful you've been in educating people and how well informed the people that listen to your show are. That's never happened before.
Well, stick around, especially in this time slot. The earlier time slot is a new audience for the Hour of the Time. But this time slot is the audience that's been with me since the beginning, and there are not many people in this audience in this time slot. In the earlier time, at 6 p.m. Mountain Time, which is 8 p.m. your time, most of the audience at the present time, unfortunately, are sheeple.
Well, I was really thrilled to hear that. I was thrilled to hear it, and it just shows that, yes, we are making progress. One person like you who's courageous and gets out there and tells it like it is and tells the truth and gets it out to the people does make a difference. And I'm glad you do.
Well, thank you, Linda, and I'm certainly glad that you do what you do. And I try to make all these people who always come up with this excuse that I'm just one little human being, and what can I do? I can't do anything. Well, so am I, and so are you, and so is anybody else who's ever made a difference. Jesus Christ was just one lonely, helpless human being who overcame more than most people will ever have to overcome in their life.
I'll tell you, in this battle, we're not unarmed. As soon as you realize who the real power on this planet is, who the real power is, and you turn your trust and faith to that power, you have the same power. We all do. We have the power behind us to beat this thing, to beat these people. They're evil, they're corrupt, but they're stupid, and they're deceitful. And they trip over their own lies, and they trip over their own deceit. And they're like any other bully. They're chickens.
That's right. You smack them in the mouth as hard as you can, and they turn tail and run.
The most telling part of that was when they were harassing us with those helicopters early into this thing. And I came on your show, and I went on a couple of other shows, and I said, if those unmarked black helicopters fly over my house again at 50 feet and endanger my children and my property, I'm going to shoot them down.
Yes, I remember that.
Well, they quit.
Good.
Started flying over the office, but they haven't come over my house again.
Good.
So, you know, that to me was very telling. And the second encounter I had like that was when they came down close to me in my car. And there was a guy in the back of the helicopter with a rifle out. I figured if he was going to shoot me, I got my gun out. I figured he could go too. And they took off. They flew up. Now, that tells you two things. Number one, they were not acting legally, because if they were, they would have arrested me or shot me. Two, they're easily intimidated. They aren't used to having people stand up to them.
They've never had anybody stand up to them.
And I'm getting tired of hearing, we've got a BBS like you do, and we answer people's responses and mail and so forth, and we've been discussing some of the laws. Well, one issue came up the other day, and this is maybe a bad example, but maybe not. A fellow who did have a prior felony record had a gun in his car. He was driving down the road. He had a taillight out, and he got pulled over by the police because he had his taillight out, so it was a traffic violation. He hadn't done anything. He hadn't injured anybody. He had committed no crimes. But the policeman was able to run his information and found out he had a prior felony conviction and saw that he had the gun laying there in the open in the seat, which was perfectly legal if he weren't a felon. They arrested him and put him in jail. And immediately people started screaming, oh, it's a felon with a gun. You shouldn't give him any bail at all. Now, this man hadn't used his gun. He hadn't hurt anybody. He had a job. He's a law-abiding citizen at this point. He's paid his debt to society. He's done nothing wrong. But merely because he possessed a gun, we've got idiots who are responding just like the crowd did in Nazi Germany. Well, it's against the law. Put him in jail. Keep him there. Throw away the key.
Yeah, not only that, but it's not really against the law. The law says that you cannot take the citizenship away from an American citizen. Only you can renounce your citizenship. Nobody else can take it away, no matter what you do or anything.
Well,
and the second article in the amendment does not make any distinguishes, exceptions or anything. It says the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, period.
Well, it amazes me. What amazed me was two things. One, the people don't stop and think how stupid, if that is a valid law, what a stupid law it is. And who passed it? How did we let a law like that get passed? And now look at this new crime bill. The crime bill is the same kind of law, only it's applied to all the rest of us. It says it's going to be illegal to merely possess particular types of guns. You don't have to harm anybody, you don't have to shoot anybody, you don't have ever had to have done a thing except own it. That is the exact same kind of law, and we're going to get the same kind of response. We're going to have these good little Nazis out there saying, well, you're a criminal, you own a gun. And nodding their heads like sheeple. Sheeple is not a strong enough word for these because they don't think. They just simply.
You ought to see the letters I get for calling people sheeple and say that it's not a strong enough word.
It's not a strong enough word. People, you're giving your liberties away just because a law has been passed. Does it make it right? Is it constitutional? Is it moral? No. You know, and where do we stop this? You can't say you can do it through voting and through elections, because at this point, if there's anybody out there naive enough to believe that the elections are not rigged.
Well, Linda, I have one stance on this, and that stance is constitutional. All these other arguments are bullshit. There is no argument. There is no reason. There is no discussion. If you want to take guns away from the American people, there's only one way to do it. You're going to have to change the Constitution. Until the Constitution is changed, no weapons are illegal in this country. The Constitution says clearly the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Don't get caught up in these other arguments. Anybody, don't even start even discussing any other argument but that one. That is the only one that applies.
And the reason that also applies is that the Congress does not have the right to pass laws giving the federal government jurisdiction over crimes. Even if it were legal to legislate anything about guns, federal criminal laws themselves are unconstitutional because the federal government only has jurisdiction in its territories. That means in Washington, D.C.
That's correct. If you're not standing on federal property when you commit a crime, any kind of a crime, the federal government has no jurisdiction. Their laws do not apply. Their agents have no authority and no jurisdiction. The jurisdiction comes under the state.
And how they have been getting around that is claiming that crime affects interstate commerce so that the Congress can pass laws about interstate commerce, therefore they can pass laws about crime.
The only thing that they can do with interstate commerce is regulate it, period.
And that is where we have absolutely let them take our liberty away from us.
And that's the key. You said it right there, and that's what I've been telling the world. We would not be in the predicament that we're in now if people were not apathetic, ignorant, and stupid. Most people don't even own a copy of the Constitution. Most people, in fact, have never read it in their entire life unless they were forced to read it in school, and then they had other things on their mind and didn't even pay any attention to what it was they read, if they even read it in the first place.
They're not teaching the Constitution in school anymore.
That's correct.
Absolutely not teaching it. And you can mention amendments to people. They don't even know what they are. They don't have the first concept of what the Bill of Rights is.
Thank you, Linda. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Gentlemen, the hour of the time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. Swiss America Trading has backed this program through thick and thin. They've stuck with us when anyone else would have just let go. And I back them 100% with my personal word of honor. I tell you that they are an honest company that will never cheat you, will never steal from you. If you are concerned about your financial future, if you want to make sure that you take the necessary steps to protect what you have spent most of your life gathering for the security and safety and well-being and shelter for your family, and call Swiss America Trading. Thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Time. Mention my name, William Cooper, and ask them for all the newsletters and information that you're entitled to as a listener to the Hour of the Time. Greg Smith, the president of Swiss America Trading, believes in the message of this program. He's a good, honest, Christian American. He lives by a strict moral code. I have seen him bend over backwards to make people happy. I have seen him do things that he should not have done. Because where most people would accuse a company of being dishonest, many of you out there are dishonest, and I've seen you take advantage of his good nature on many more than one occasion. If any of you ever believe that you have been cheated by our sponsor, you notify me immediately, and I will conduct a personal investigation. And if you are correct, they will not be the sponsor of the Hour of the Time beyond that point. But I tell you now, there is no danger of that ever happening. The people at Swiss America Trading have become good friends. I know them. I have discussed their business dealings with state officials, with federal officials, and with many, many customers. I have helped mediate disputes. And in every case that I mediated a dispute, the customer was in the wrong in every single instance. And in every single instance, Swiss America Trading bent over backwards to make them happy. They care about this country. They care about you. They care about the message of the Hour of the Time. Almost, in fact, every one of their competitors that I know of began their career working for Craig Smith at Swiss America Trading, except for one who began his career as a customer of Swiss America Trading, and by picking Craig Smith's brain, learned enough to start his own business. I don't have to name these people. You know who they are. But it's the truth. It's the absolute truth. And Swiss America Trading will be there when all the rest of them are gone, I can assure you. They're the only ones who have a buyback policy that they will give to you in writing. Ask the others if they will give you a buyback policy in writing. Ask the others how many days you have to examine your purchase. And whether or not you can return it during that time for no other reason than you just don't like the way it looks. And then call Swiss America Trading, folks, at 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Stop gambling. Stop playing the odds. Deal with an honest, good, reputable company that's been in business for many years and from which all the others got their start. That's Swiss America Trading, 1-800-289-2646. Call them now. You know how you are. You know that you will procrastinate. You know that tomorrow morning you will find something else to do. Look around at the faces of your family members, and if you cannot tell them now and assure them that your assets are protected and that your future is secure, then you must. You have no choice. You must. If you are a responsible, decent, loving human being, you must call Swiss America Trading now. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. You'll be glad that you did. whether we like it or not, dear listeners, great change is coming. The world is in a state of great, great change. There's nothing we can ever do to stop change, but we can direct the change for the better or for the worse. Or we can remain stupid, ignorant, and apathetic, and let those who are in control direct it where they wish. Linda has done an awful lot to educate you, to help try and save the Constitution, the penultimate of human achievement, the first time in history when this country was created that man or woman ever existed on this earth free. And she is under attack by people who set out to destroy her with no other reason than to destroy her, and to direct your attention away from the coming trial beginning on January the 10th, which in effect is a secret trial. The press has been barred. The jury will be selected by the judge, and the identity of the jury will be kept secret, which means we will not even really know if there really is a jury. The attorneys and the prosecution have been gagged. Not too long ago, if we heard that scenario, we would have condemned the Soviet Union . Do you remember? Well, I do. Linda, tell us what's going to happen with this trial. How many people are involved?
There's 12 branch Davidians on trial. Now, they're all charged with conspiracy to commit murder or murder of federal agents. This, if anyone who saw the first Waco tape knew that there was way more there than met the eye in terms of who was shooting first. Since the first Waco tape came out, the 911 tapes have been released, which, by the way, we also have. We have all 48 of them. There are 48 tapes, but the first seven are the ones most people are interested in because that was the original call. But just the fact that the Branch Davidians called 911 when they were attacked should tell everyone that these people were not prepared for an attack. They weren't waiting for anybody. They reacted like a lot of us would. If someone broke in your front door and started shooting at you, you'd call the police.
Not only that, but conspiracy, for it to be a real conspiracy, means that two or more Branch Davidians had to meet in secret to plan that attack to kill those officers. Is that correct?
Well, they wouldn't have to meet in secret, and anymore the federal standards on conspiracy are so pitiful, it can mean nothing more than an instantaneous agreement.
Well, then the definition has certainly changed since the last time I looked it up in the law.
Most of the federal laws have gone that way. They've stretched the outer limits to the point of ridiculous in terms of what a law actually says versus what they say it means.
But it still would have meant that they would have had to meet two or more of them, whether in secret or not, according to your revelation here, and they would have had to plan that attack in order to kill those federal officers. Is that correct?
And formerly, they would have also had to have taken at least one step towards that plan before it could be called a conspiracy. But now it takes nothing more than for them to simply allege that they had some kind of plan instantly beforehand. For instance, if you could make that allegation about anyone,
you mean if somebody attacked my home,
mm-hmm,
and I grabbed a gun and said, "That man is killing my family, I'm going to shoot him," I would be guilty of conspiracy to kill a murderer, a federal officer?
If you said it to another person and you both agreed that you were going to defend, yes.
Well, hell, they might as well try me now, because if they ever attack my house and shoot bullets into my home threatening my family, I will kill just as many of them as I can.
Well, that's the scenario we
So have. I'm telling it to the whole world, so I guess that makes me guilty of conspiracy to murder federal officers.
Well, probably guilty of uttering threats against a federal officer.
No, this is no threat. I'm telling the world that if they attack me with weapons shooting into my home, I will defend my family and my home, and I will kill them. That's no threat against federal officers. That is my right under the law to defend myself.
And that's what the Branch Davidians did eventually do. But initially, they were fired on by helicopters overhead that fired into the roof, killed women and children. which several of the Branch Davidians have told me in interviews I've conducted with them, and which Dick DeGuerin, the attorney down there, confirmed when he said he saw the room and the ceilings that looked like Swiss cheese in the second story. So it wasn't any Branch Davidian shooting out the ceiling on the second story. It was the helicopter overhead. I also have film footage showing bullet holes in vehicles, and those bullet holes were made from straight overhead. They could not have been shot from the building because of the angle of the bullet hole. This proves that that helicopter not only fired down on the Branch Davidians, but it fired down on the ATF, too. And it was firing into the roof where the first three agents had gone into the building, so the helicopter may well have fired on them, as well as their own man at that window that you saw in the first tape.
Uh-huh.
Since that time, we have come across more footage that shows an agent down on the ground who threw in two grenades and fired into the chapel twice. The ATF, when they tried to tell their new version of the story about how three of their agents got killed, changed the story and claimed that one of them was killed in the chapel. Well, that doesn't help them when they've got one of their own men standing at the chapel window throwing in two grenades and shooting in there, and there is no question about it in this particular piece of film, because you can very plainly see him throw the grenade. You can see the grenade. You can see him shoot in there without question. And we also have footage showing two agents out in the yard shooting. They're in front of the water tanks, and they're shooting back out at the reporters and their own people. They're not shooting at the house. They're shooting at their own people. We have a photograph that shows what appears to be a child out front in of the house at the gate when the agents first arrived. The front door is standing open, just like David Koresh said. He said he went to the front door, he opened the door, and he said, "Wait a minute, there's women and children in here. Let's talk." And he said the agents started firing on him. This picture shows that the front door was standing open. There is not a single person at any of those windows shooting at the agents, and the agents are standing there blasting away, and there's a little child in the picture. But whoever took this picture, and it was the guy with the Waco Tribune Herald that took the picture, we got a copy of the negative, and that negative had already been tampered with. They blurred the child's face. You can see it. It's a very poorly done job. It's clearly been altered. We could not have done it because we were not the source of that negative. And they did it apparently so you couldn't tell who the kid was, but we have figured out who the child was because there were only two blonde kids of that age there.
And what happened to this child?
He was killed. We have also found footage that shows two ATF agents carrying someone very small to an ambulance. They never told this to the world, did they? Just like they never told the world that they killed Sammy Weaver. They went in straight to a cover-up, straight to a cover-up, straight to a lie, just like they did in Idaho. They did the same thing in Waco. They killed children and covered it up.
Were you aware that the Treasury Department comes under the International Monetary Fund and is really not an agency of the United States government?
Yes, and I just saw an excellent letter from Richard Palmquist out in California, who is another person who's working very hard in this, where he had a 501c3 corporation, which he dissolved, and sent a letter to the Treasury Department accusing them of perpetuating a fraud on the American public. And the entire fraud being exposed in this letter that he wrote, it was just an excellent letter. I wish I could write as well as he does. But that letter, if I could get a copy of it out to everybody in America, I would. Because it explains how the Treasury Department is not even using Department of the Treasury any longer. It's not the United States Department of Treasury.
And it's not the United States Treasury, which is the true agency of the United States government.
It's just simply Treasury Department.
That's right.
And the secretary, who is the head of the Treasury Department, is one of the directors on the International Monetary Fund. He receives pay for that position, and that's absolutely forbidden and illegal under our Constitution, which says that no officials should receive any emolument or payment from a foreign entity.
But it is a requirement of the Treaty of Bretton Woods that the Secretary of the Treasury be paid by the International Monetary Fund and not by the government of the United States of America. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms is a tax collecting and enforcing agency which comes under the Department of the Treasury of the Treasury Department. And because of that, it also is an arm of the International Monetary Fund, which is an arm of the United Nations. They do not have any requirement in their oath to swear any allegiance to the Constitution of the United States of America. Were you aware of that?
Yes, because we went to look for the oath one day in the federal law books on that very point, because we wanted to prove that they had to swear an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. They did used to have to swear that oath. That whole section of the law has been replaced and says they will swear an oath as directed by the director.
That's right. And also, the United States Marshal Service no longer swears allegiance to the Constitution either.
It's the same law covers them both. And there's no copy of the oath in the law books anymore. It simply says as directed.
That's right. The United States of America is slowly and surely being dissolved and being attached to the United Nations. This began many, many years ago with the signing of the United Nations Treaty by Harry Truman, a 33rd degree Freemason, and the pushing through Congress of the UN Participation Act. The federal government's executive branch interpreted Article 6 of the Constitution as treaties supersede the Constitution, and they established the National Security Act, the Central Intelligence Agency, and they have been working to dissolve the sovereignty of all nations of the world and bring about a one-world totalitarian socialist government with the full cooperation of all those belonging to the secret societies within our government, without our government, in the military, in the Congress, in the states, and even in the cities.
It's treason.
Well, it's absolutely treason. So when are we going to do something about it?
Linda, could I ask you also, could Mr. Palmquist's letter be included in your video by any chance?
Well, we certainly could, and I'll tell you another thing. If I could, I'd like to give out my address, since everybody that called wanted to their great credit, did not want to use credit cards, did want to order the tape, and did need our address. Could I give that out?
Sure.
Okay, it's American Justice Federation, 3850 South Emerson Avenue, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46203. It's American Justice Federation, 3850 South Emerson, E-M-E-R-S-O-N, Avenue, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46203. Now, I can include that letter. Yes, I sure could. It's a wonderful letter. And anyone out there who is a member of a church that has still got a 501c3 tax-exempt status, you tell them that they have put their church under the government's direction. They are serving the government, not God. They have a contract with the government to serve the government, and they should immediately dissolve that 501c3 status. And if I hear another preacher ask me, well, what do we do about our tax-exempt status? That is the point. Under our Constitution, the government does not have the right to regulate churches at all. You didn't need this status.
Nor do they have the right to levy a direct tax upon the people, or an excise tax upon individuals or their incomes. And any time you incorporate, whether it's a 501(c) or any kind of corporation, you have given up your sovereignty, you have given up your state citizenship, and you have become a part of the Federal District of Columbia. You are subject to the laws of the federal government. You have no constitutional rights, and you are a 14th Amendment citizen of the United States of America, which is a foreign government to the several states.
Well, we just dissolved our corporation, which was not 501c3, but nonetheless it had been a corporation, and we're taking steps to get ourselves individually out of this entire system, having discovered that it is a fraud and it is corrupt. The main fraud is Social Security. One of the big frauds that everyone, the carrot and stick approach that the government is using to keep people in this fraudulent banking system, they claim that Social Security was an insurance program. It was never an insurance program. They used the word insurance liberally throughout. But you ask for a guarantee in writing that you will ever be able to see any of your contributions back. You can't get that. They will not give it to you. They will not guarantee it. It is not insurance of any kind. It's a trick. It's a hoax. It's a lie. And you were given a Social Security number. What have they done with that? Do you remember they used to say they couldn't be used for identification? Now your Social Security number is used everywhere on everything by every government agency.
Not just the government. Go buy a battery at Radio Shack and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Linda, I want to thank you for all your work. And I want to tell you, stand up tall during this attack upon your person and your character. You will prevail. To all my listeners, I want you to get the videotape, the musical that Linda has just completed. And in about 2 weeks, she's going to come out with her second Waco tape. And if you can, this guy McNulty only makes his video available to the press so that the public cannot examine it. Any cursory examination of that tape will prove that it has been extremely manipulated, tampered with. It is a total fraud. McNulty himself is a fraud and a liar and a fake.
Here's the way you can tell it even with the naked eye. If you get footage and it's copied from any source, if he got a copy from the network like he claims, when you copy it, it's going to be worse quality than the first one, no matter what. Your footage is going to be slightly worse. And then he said he copied it onto digital tape. Well, that's another copy. It gets worse. Footage does not improve as it gets copied. It gets worse. But his still pictures are much clearer than his original footage right there. And he admits he digitized it. That proves it was digitized because you have to fill in the missing information. And that's exactly what he's done.
Not only that, but he screwed up and he's got sky underneath a building.
Now he's got a building parked where it doesn't belong. And it's
up in the sky, right?
Yeah, and the roof line goes in the wrong direction. Oh, there's a lot to it, but you can see it with the naked eye. It's easy to tell that he's done these things. And, Bill, I tell you, if there's anybody getting the truth out to America, what I have discovered in a short amount of time is who the traitors are, and that's good. If nothing else, I can tell from the people who attack me and what they say and what they do, they're all trying to help the government by what they do. They're not trying to expose lies. They're not trying to expose what's really going on. And that in itself is a service to America because we know who the traitors are, no doubt about it. And right now, Bill, you're the strongest, loudest voice of truth in this country.
Well, thank you, Linda. That certainly is a wonderful endorsement, and from someone whom I respect as much as you.
Well, I thought the hard way who the fires are, Bill. And at this point, I can say, without question, I have never, ever found anything you said to be false. In fact, the opposite's true. I've been able to verify it. Things you warned me about and I blew off a little months ago, I found them to be true.
Well, I remember you got a little irked at me for some of the things I warned you about, but I knew that you would ultimately find the truth, as the truth always prevails. I've always said that. I maintain it. And I stand behind that.
Well, if anybody out there thinks any of Bill's theories are off the wall, loony, nutso, whatever, let me just tell you right now, it's simply because you haven't got the information you need to know the truth, because he's right.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you for being such a wonderful guest and giving us an update and clarifying some of these things that are floating around. Many people have called and asked what happened to you and what was going on and what is the truth about all these attacks upon your character. I want to wish you and your family a very happy new year. Unfortunately, this year is not going to be happy if we don't succeed in waking the majority of the sheeple. To all of you listening, good night and God bless you all.